of the website TV Worth Watching and teaches TV and film history at Rowan University in New Jersey. He reviewed the new Netflix special, A Very Murray Christmas, which is available starting tomorrow. If you'd like to catch up on interviews you missed, like yesterday's interview with the co-creators of the HBO series The Leftovers, Tom Perata, and Damon Lindelof, who also created Lost, check out our podcast where you'll find that and many other Fresh Air interviews. Fresh Air's executive producer is Denny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krenzel, John Myers, John Sheehan, Heidi Simon, Teresa Madden, and Thea Chaloner. I'm Terry Gross.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Cigna, a global health service company dedicated to helping people improve their health, well-being, and sense of security at Cigna.com. And from the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, working to improve the quality of people's lives by supporting the performing arts, the environment, medical research, and child well-being. Information is available at ddcf.org. An unfolding story in San Bernardino, California. A mass shooting has left 14 people dead. Police shot and killed two suspects in a standoff. They say suspects used assault-style rifles and were wearing assault-style clothing. I'm Kelly McEvers, and I'll be reporting in San Bernardino those stories later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Tonight on 360 North at 8, experience the story of Helen Keller like never before in the critically acclaimed story ballet, A Light in the Dark, from Photos Dance Chicago. At 9, Anne Sechrist and her guest explore Alaska's judicial system on AARP Alaska. The Aviators is next at 9:30, Rain Country Reflections at 10, and Alaska Magazine Television at 10:30. Tonight on 360 North and 360north.org.
And welcome to the December 3rd edition of Juno Afternoon. Thank you for sharing your day with KTOO. We've got a great show. We'll be talking art because it's December and that means gallery walk and lots of art. We'll be talking about pancakes and the first hockey team and, of course, Art's Up. All that and more. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. U.S. South Dakota Senator John Thune says he's backing an effort to repeal part of the Affordable Care Act. The move fulfills a promise made by many Republicans to see it removed, but President Obama is expected to veto any repeal effort. Some worry repealing the act would hurt Native Americans. They say many in places like South Dakota still lack adequate health care coverage because the state has refused to expand Medicaid. Charles Michael Ray has more.
South Dakota's U.S. Senator John Thune says the Affordable Care Act has failed. He supports repealing a number of provisions within the act.
The law was sold as a health care solution, but it's turned out to be yet another health care problem. And I've heard from countless South Dakotans over the last 5.5 years about the damage that's been caused by this fundamentally flawed law.
Thune says the repeal making its way through the Senate would not impact efforts to improve funding for the Indian Health Service. but others say the Affordable Care Act is crucial for Indian country. Geraldine Church is the CEO for the Great Plains Tribal Chairman's Health Board. She says throwing out the Affordable Care Act now does more harm than good.
You know, is there room for improvement? Certainly, but I think those are issues that can be worked through and addressed. You know, I trust that the lawmakers can come together to identify the areas that need improvement, but still really utilize the ACA for the betterment of everyone's health.
The bill before the Senate phases out the expansion of Medicaid taken on by some states under the ACA. Senator Thune says expanded Medicaid would be replaced with a different program, giving states more flexibility. But Geraldine Church says expanding Medicaid in states like South Dakota helps Native people meet health care needs. For National Native News, I'm Charles Michael Ray in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Arizona Republicans, including the governor, are welcoming the recent party switch by State Senator Carlisle Begay. The former Democrat represents much of the Navajo Nation and says his beliefs more closely resemble those of the GOP. Arizona Public Radio's Ryan Heinches reports.
In a recent web video announcement of his decision, Begay said families in rural and tribal communities are in crisis. He cited the Navajo Nation's high unemployment and suicide rates, and many homes that go without clean water and electricity. Begay said his new party's focus on self-reliance influenced his decision.
Today, the Republican Party is finding solutions to build a positive future for the people I represent. In the past 2 years, it has been the Republican Party that has worked side by side with me to improve education, jobs, and infrastructure.
Begay did acknowledge his change of party might not be popular with some people. However, Alexis Tamaron, the chair of the Arizona Democratic Party, was not surprised by his decision. Many Democrats have also questioned his loyalty since he took office in 2013. Begay was the sole Democrat to vote for this year's state budget. Republicans now have an 18-12 majority in the Senate and control the state house. For National Native News, I'm Ryan Heinches in Flagstaff.
The trial of one of three young people accused of the beating deaths of two homeless men began Wednesday in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Alex Rios, age 20, and two others who are teenagers were charged with murder after the attack more than a year ago. Police say the victims, Allison Gorman and Key Thompson, both Navajo, were beaten to death as they slept in a vacant lot in the city. The Albuquerque Native American community, the Navajo Nation, and city officials have been working together to address homelessness. The mayor created a Native American task force to help. Meanwhile, the trial for Rios, who faces a number of charges, is expected to continue through next week. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. For 45 years, NARF has stood firm for justice in Indian country on critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior. Stand firm with NARF. Learn more at NARF.org and join the fight for Native rights. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Welcome to Juno Afternoon. It's 6 minutes past the hour in the capital city. There is a dense fog advisory until noon tomorrow. So the rest of the day is going to be cloudy, areas of dense fog, and temperatures remaining around 37, light winds. And then tonight we're going to go down to lows around 32 and the variable wind to 10 miles per hour. And tomorrow, sunny, highs around 35. Well, thank you for sharing your day with KTOO. It is the KTOO Drive. We want to thank our phone bank organization. It's the Grateful Dogs of Juneau. They are they advocate in behalf of responsible dog owners of Juneau, and they're going to hold a pet food drive beginning Monday, December 14th through Sunday, December 20th. The pet food drive will benefit the Southeast Alaska Food Bank. Look for collection boxes in all the grocery stores, vet clinics, pet service stores, and other locations in Juneau. Thank you, Grateful Dogs, for what you do and manning our phones. So we're going to get right into it. It is December, and the first weekend in December means art in Juneau, Gallery Walk. And our first guest is the Associate Professor of Art at UAS, our very own local college, Jeremy Kane. Hi, Jeremy.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. What about yourself?
Excellent.
Okay, so let's talk about what's going on this weekend with the UAS art program.
Lots going on.
It is. Let's start with your show.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm doing a show. It's called Surface, and it's all based on wheel-thrown ceramics, and I've fired everything in the gallery and wood-fired kilns at the university that I've built in the past 12 years. And so it takes a lot of work and a lot of wood, but over the course of the semester, I've fired a lot of the work that's going to be in the gallery.
That's great. And why did you entitle it Surface?
Surface just, it basically pertains to the ash that's built up from the wood when you're firing the kiln, and it melts out and creates a glaze. So it's an all-natural glaze. So for, in my case, it would be like an Alaska spruce glaze, essentially, for, with a lot of this work. And the surface just varies on a three-dimensional piece from one side to the next, depending on where it's at in the kiln. So it kind of gives a completely varied surface.
Wow, that sounds great. So where is your show?
The show is at the City Museum, the Juneau Douglas City Museum.
Okay, and it
opens tomorrow.
First Friday, the big first Friday, the gallery work.
Yes.
Walk, sorry. And it's 4:30 to 7. And then what's going on like Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 4? Oh, your artwork's going to be on display the whole month?
It'll be up for almost 2 months.
Okay,
and
great.
I'll be closing that with a lecture at the City Museum as well on the 21st of January.
Okay. So that's one part of what's going on with the UAS art program. And then there's a pottery sale and a student art exhibition. So can we talk a little bit about that?
Well, we have our annual pottery or semi-annual pottery sale at the university right now, and the students are putting that together. And also my career development for the artist class, Art 495, is doing a solo, well, six-person show at the Baranoff Hotel, and that's been kind of part of the tradition here at the art department, and we show there every year in December. Okay. And so this year we've decided to do just the six students that are graduating the 495 class, and so that's part of their assignment, and they're down there working as we speak, and they're doing a good job.
Okay, like probably many artists are hanging and
getting
ready for the big weekend. So the student art exhibition is multimedia,
yes,
correct?
Yep.
And that's at the Baranoff on Friday, 5 to 8, but will be...
It's a one-night show.
It's a one-night show.
Yep, so.
Okay, six students. So that will happen at the Baranoff. Your show's at the City Museum, 4:30 to 7. It will be there for 2 months.
Yes, ma'am.
Cool. And then what about the pottery sale?
The pottery sale is a two-day event. I believe it starts at 10 in the morning till 5 at night on Friday and Saturday, and it's in the pottery studio at UAS.
Okay.
And, it's being set up tonight. It always opens up, you know, mostly campus faculty and students and things like that, but community is always welcome, and certain people know about it and certain people don't. So it always happens really fast, what we do at the first December.
Okay. So you have been at the university for 12 years in the art department.
It is. This is my 12th year at the university.
That's great. So what is it about the medium, about ceramics, that interests you as an artist?
It's a very tactile process. It also includes quite a few people along the way. And I was thinking about that a little bit myself today, and there's also a lot of different things that you need to do with ceramics, so it's not boring. You know, you make the work, then you have to fire it, then you have to glaze it, then you have to fire it again. There's just so many like facets to it that it makes it kind of exciting rather than, and you get to play with fire a little bit, you know, and also, you know, giving somebody something that they can use is a pretty special thing. And people use it every day all over the world, and people eat every day, and people celebrate, and that kind of attitude at the dinner table with handmade wares and things like that is pretty impressive. And when I first started getting into that, it was pretty fun to meet a lot of people that were really sharing that kind of stuff and trading back and forth. And, you know, so it's been happening for 22 years now. I've been making pottery, so sometimes it's good to rethink why you're doing it, but It is very welcoming, and, you know, the studio at UAS, the students, all different varieties, get along so well because they're coming together for one cause. And they really do have to work together in one place for a long period of time. So it's not like they can just disappear with their sketchbook or, of course, they could do that. But, you know, to get things accomplished in the ceramic studio, you have to be in the ceramic studio, and you have to maintain control over the moisture or the lack of in your pots to finish them correctly, or else they crack. You know, so it's a pretty intense process.
And that's what you meant about the people that along the way, that it's not, you know, many art forms you could do, you know, wherever.
Yes.
If let's not put theater in there. Theater, you kind of need a group and an audience and stuff. But as far as like the visual arts and the tactile arts, you could do it anywhere. But you're saying this has a built-in community almost.
It is, yeah. And, you know, and it requires a lot of tools for the most part to be able to complete things properly. You know, and at UAS, that's one of our biggest strong suits, is the fact that we've got all these unique kilns. There's very few people in Alaska that have that, you know, style kiln facility. The University of Fairbanks is where I got my undergrad degree, and so I learned a lot from up there, and they've built quite a few kilns. And, you know, my master's degree was in Ohio University, where bricks are in abundance. So, of course, people were building kilns everywhere, you know, even for free a lot of times, just from miscut bricks and things like that. But in Alaska, it's very difficult to gather those materials to build this kind of stuff. So you have to really work hard to find the materials to build the kilns, and then you have to maintain them and all this stuff. So it's a fun thing.
It sounds it.
Yeah.
It sounds great. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to Jeremy Kane. He's the UAS Associate Professor of Art. His show is at the Juno Douglas City Museum tomorrow, first Friday, Gallery Walk, 4:30 to 7. Then the UAS Student Pottery Sale is happening on Saturday and Sunday at the UAS campus, Friday and Saturday at the UAS campus. And then the Student Art Exhibition of the students who are graduating, 6 students, will be at the Baranoff.
Yes.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, thank you so much for joining
us
today.
Thanks for having me.
Look forward to seeing your work tomorrow night.
All right.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 3rd of December, 2015. It was on this date, 1960, the musical by Lerner and Lowe, Camelot, opened on Broadway with the song, at the end of the show, "Don't let it be forgot that once there was a spot for one brief shining moment that was known as Camelot." It's the birthday of Joseph Conrad, born in Poland in the town of Berdyshev, which is now Ukraine, 1857. Joined the merchant navy, sailed all around the world, and from it he gained the experience that went into his novels and stories, the best known of which, Heart of Darkness, 1899. English riverboat captain in the Congo, sent to retrieve an ivory trader, Mr. Kurtz, who has been living as a demigod among the African natives. Francis Ford Coppola used it as an outline for his story in his film Apocalypse Now. It was on this date, 1919, the Quebec Bridge over the St. Lawrence River was finally opened to traffic. They started building it in 1904, but engineers had made a mistake, and it weighed much more than they thought it did. An enormous bridge, cantilever bridge, 1,800-foot single span, 150 feet above the St. Lawrence. 3 years after they started building it, it collapsed. 75 workers died in 1907. They resumed construction 1913. 3 years later, the bridge collapsed again. 13 workers were killed. Finally opened to public traffic on this date in 1919. Still the world's longest cantilever bridge. Here's a poem for today by Marge Piercy, "The Wall of Cold Descends." Near the end of our annual solstice party, as guests were rummaging through the pile for their coats and hugging many goodbyes, the very first snow of the year began to eddy down in big flat flakes. It was cold enough to stick, with the grass poking through and then buried. Now The ground gives it back under the low ruddy sun that sits on the boughs of the pine like a fox if red foxes could climb. The cats crowd the windows for its touch. The wolf moon seemed bigger than the sun, almost brighter as last night it turned the snow ghostly. Now it too wanes, the nub end of the year when all northern cultures celebrate fire and light. Tonight we'll take the first two candles to kindle one from the other. Then we go out after dark. Our eyes seek lights that bore holes in the thick black, like the pelt of a huge hairy monster, a grizzly who devours the warm-blooded. We are kin with the birds who huddle in evergreens, who crowd feeders, kin with the foxes and their prey, kin with all who shiver this night, homeless or housed, clutching or alone under the vast high dome of night. The Wall of Cold Descends, poem by Marge Piercy, from her collection Made in Detroit, published by Alfred A. Knopf, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Staples, with technology products, copy and print, shipping, and other solutions for businesses of any size. Learn more at Staples and Staples.com. Staples, make more happen. And by the Poetry Foundation, you can subscribe to the Poetry Magazine podcast and the Poetry Off the Shelf podcast in the iTunes store or listen at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
It's 18 minutes after the hour. You are listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Joan Partis, your Thursday host. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer extraordinaire of the show. And it is a KTOO phone drive. So if you have not renewed or you're thinking about becoming a member, it's a perfect time to do it. 586-3636. That was 586-3636. And outside of Juno, 1-800-478-3636. We've got members of the Grateful Dogs of Juno manning the phones, so it's a good time to do that. And, of course, you could do this online at ktoo.org. It is December in Southeast Alaska, which means Gallery Walk. Our next guest is Jeremy Smetzer. He has a show here at KTOO. He just hung it, and it looks fantastic. Welcome, Jeremy. How are you today?
I'm fine, but it's Jerry.
Oh, Jerry. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Jerry Smetzer. Sorry about
you
that.
You didn't mess up my last name, so that's good. We're making progress.
We're like halfway there. Yeah. We're going to go try to do that full circle now. So we were chatting about his show, Jerry's show, and he's got how many paintings do you have out there?
I have 10.
Okay. And this is an effort of 2.5 years.
It's taken me 2.5 years to put these 10 together and get them ready for a show. And Jeff was kind enough to invite me to put the show up here
at
K2.
They look great.
Thank you.
And the name of the show is?
The title, the theme that ties everything together is Walkabout.
And where did that come from?
I first saw that term when I saw a movie by that name, an Australian movie that came out in 1972. And I was taken by the story and by the movie making and the whole idea. I don't know if I really connected with that idea until I got older and realized that a walkabout, in other words, a human being's interaction with the world around them on their own, is a good idea and everybody should try it. This is an attempt to show how it could be done by a young woman.
Interesting. Sounds great. So let's talk about one of your paintings that is out there that kind of ties that theme to the show.
Well, each of the paintings has a young woman in it, and each of the paintings is an event in history. Like I start out with the title Savannah. The first are in sequence. There's 10 in sequence. Panel number 1 is called Savannah. and it's about human beings coming down from the trees and starting to hunt. And then it goes on from there, how people get together to trade goods, and commerce starts. And it goes on. The next step is commerce tends to lead to conflict, so there's wars and all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
So I have a painting of Alexander out there, and one of his iconic, one of the iconic images of Alexander the Great. And it kind of goes on from there.
That sounds great.
It's kind of stuff I've been rattling around in my head for years, and now that I'm retired, I have time to actually say something about it.
That's great. So how long have you been painting?
Painting?
Mm-hmm.
I've been scribbling since I was a kid, doodling and stuff, but then I had family, you know, the full catastrophe, as whatever the Greek used to say. House, family, children, the whole full catastrophe. And that took a lot of time, so there's not much time to think about painting and stuff. But they're all grown up now, and they got their own kids. So I actually started painting with real paint about 10 years ago. Started taking courses at the university from Jane Terzis, Dave Woody, people like that.
Well, the show looks great.
Well, thank you.
So, and I'm not an art connoisseur in any way, shape, or form. What is your preferred medium?
Well, part of the message in this thing, in fact, you read the introduction to the show, which is at the other end of the hall, opposite first painting, is that, I earned a living with computers. And so I know a lot about computers, and I've used pretty much all the tools that are available for visual art with computers, Photoshop and some 3D animation software and so forth, to kind of, and then I pull stuff down from using Google, pull stuff down from the web. And with Photoshop, started mixing and matching those images and kind of smooching them together, you know, so they look right. And then once I had an image I liked, then I sort of cast that image onto a canvas. And that is my preferred medium. Canvas, oil on canvas is my preferred medium so far.
Wow, that is
Things
fascinating.
Change.
If you're just joining us, Jerry Smetzer, he's going to be the artist of the month at KTOO. His show starts tomorrow at 4:30, Gallery Walk, and it is entitled Walkabout. And, you know, one of the perks of this job is to be able to talk to ours about their process. Thank you so much for coming in telling us about it. And you've got to come check out the show. We'll be up tomorrow.
And through the month. So I plan to take it down first of January,
okay.
2016.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Thank you guys very much.
This is Bird Note. These weird calls come from a crested caracara, one of North America's most charismatic birds of prey. Caracaras are tropical birds, but they're common in Texas, and an isolated population lives in Florida. With their big beak, shaggy crest, red face, and striking black and white plumage, caracaras are eye-catching. Their name comes from the rattling sound of their calls. Although members of the falcon family, caracaras look like small eagles, but their behavior is pure caracara, striding through the grass on long legs as they hunt for small animals of all kinds. Although the national symbol of Mexico is the golden eagle, popular knowledge has often attributed that honor to the crested caracara. The caracara is widespread and familiar, and it was sacred to the Aztecs. It also seems fearless as it looks down on you from a tall cactus. It eats anything, and is equally happy pouncing on a snake or scarfing up roadkill. Did I say fearless? A caracara will face off against a vulture twice its size. You can see a National Geographic video of a gang of young caracaras getting into a lot of trouble. Begin at our website, birdnote.org. I'm Michael Stein. Today's show brought to you by the Lufkin Family Foundation.
It's 25 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. It is 39 at the airport, 41 downtown, and 37 in the valley. and we have a dense fog advisory until noon tomorrow. I'm Joan Partis, your Thursday host, Jeff Browns, the producer and engineer, and our next guest is George Udevall. He is here with Grateful Dogs. They are at the phone bank, and they are fielding the phone calls for the KTOO phone drive. Thank you for doing that, George, you and your colleague.
You're welcome, Joan.
So let's talk about this food drive. What's going on?
Each year around holiday time, the Grateful Dogs of Juneau collects pet food to be given to the Southeast Alaska Food Bank. And this year we're starting the food drive on December 14th, that's a Monday, and continuing on to the following Sunday, which is December 20th. And there'll be collection boxes in a number of stores around town, grocery stores and vet clinics, pet service stores, and other stores around town.
It sounds great. So, you know, when we think about food drives, we think about people. What is the snapshot of the people who need pet food? Like, is it a big need? Is it a small need?
It's a very significant need. I mean, the people who are feeding themselves through the food bank also quite often have pets, and those pets need good, nutritious food, and this is one way to do it. There's always a high demand for pet food through the Southeast Alaska Food Bank.
Wow. See, I learn something new every single day about our little community. That is great. Well, thank you so much for doing that. And let's talk a little bit about Grateful Dogs. What is the mission of the organization? It's a nonprofit. What's the mission of the organization?
Grateful Dogs is a nonprofit. It's a local Juneau nonprofit. It's organized as an advocacy organization on behalf of responsible dog owners in the community, trying to ensure that the rights and privileges or access of responsible dog owners to public areas and beaches and trails in the Juneau area.
That's great, because in a lot of different communities, you know, the access for dog owners is quite limited.
In many issues, in many areas, that is a serious issue.
Maybe not in Alaska, but in the rest of the world. Like, you know, the very limited dog parks.
Yes.
And so
even
on.
In
so
parts of Alaska, it can be an issue.
Right. That's great. All right. Well, thanks for manning the phones and for the pet food drive, and that starts December 14th. And do you guys have a website presence?
Yes, we do. It's Grateful Dogs of Juneau. .org. Probably the best bet is to probably Google Grateful Dogs Juneau.
It's a great name. All right. Well, thanks for dropping by and taking a break from the phone bank. And we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Thank you, Joan.
And we're back. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon. Our next guest is Matt Bolin. He is the assistant coach for the Juneau Douglas High School hockey team.
And that's right.
They have their first home game this Friday. So tell me a little bit of the history of the hockey team at JDHS.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are in our 11th season. We started a couple years after the rink opened. Guys like Tom Rutecki and Lance Miller were pretty pivotal in wanting to get a program going for their kids and for other kids like it. And we've been really grateful for their efforts and enjoying our 11th season.
Wow, that's great. So how long is hockey season?
It starts late October, and the state tournament is mid-February.
Wow. And the people do quite a bit of travel, I would imagine.
Yeah. We've already made one trip to Kenai and one trip to Whitehorse, and then we'll make another trip to Fairbanks in January, and follow with the playoffs in Fairbanks in the beginning of February, and hopefully the state tournament in Wasilla.
All right. And how many people do you have on the team?
We've got 34 kids in the program this year. That's freshmen through seniors.
All right. And how many home games do you usually have in a season?
You know, this we've got six coming up before Christmas break, and then we've got another six or eight after that.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Who are you playing?
This weekend it's West Valley. So it's our first home games, and it's also a conference matchup. So this is a pretty big weekend for us.
Okay. And what time does the game start?
The JV game starts at 2:15 tomorrow, followed by 8 p.m. for the varsity game. And on Saturday, JV at 2:45 and varsity at 8 p.m. again.
Oh, wow. That's a big weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of stuff. And do you have to pay to go see these games?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. So the adult rates is $8. The senior rates $5. And students, including college students, is $3.
Okay. So how long have you been the assistant coach over there?
Oh, man, that's a good question. For
a ballpark, could you?
About 7 years, I think.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Did you play hockey as a kid?
I did, yep. I did. I grew up in Minnesota and played hockey from just after I could start walking.
All right. Yeah, and a lot of kids do that now, and now they also have their ice rink besides just Twin Lakes. And
that's right. Yeah. I was fortunate enough to move here after the rink was built. And, you know, again, we're really thankful for all the people that put in the legwork to get that done for us.
Man, it's hopping. Every, like, minute it's open, it's unbelievable. Ice time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's is a high priority.
Definitely. Yeah, we're on the ice at 6 a.m. every morning, and the adults are playing hockey until nearly midnight every night. So it's a hopping place.
I know. So let's just say somebody's never seen a hockey game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about me. And I've actually seen a couple of hockey games. What can they expect when they go to the rink and see one of our local teams?
You know, a lot of it. It's fast paced. It's exciting. It's a good. It's easy to watch because there's so much going on all the time, and I think that's the best part about the game. If you've never seen one before, it's an excellent opportunity to come on down this weekend and check it out. I think that our arena is a great arena for people to play in, people from around the state, even Fairbanks and Anchorage folks that come down. They love playing in our building. They love playing in front of our fans because our fans get really into it, and there's a lot of fans there. So it's a pretty exciting atmosphere.
Sounds cool. So one more time, the times and dates of this weekend's game.
Yeah. So tomorrow starts off at 2:15 with the JV game and at 8 p.m. for the varsity game. And Saturday is 2:45 JV game and 8 p.m. for the varsity game.
And that's at Juno Douglas High School taking on West Valley from Anchorage.
From Fairbanks. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
From Fairbanks. Okay. They might have more time on the ice, you know, outside at least. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in, and we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
When I ask what do you want for breakfast, I say, hey, boys, what do you want for breakfast? They say, hey, Papa, for goodness sake, you know we love your old pancakes for breakfast. Yeah, we want pancakes for breakfast. Pancakes for breakfast. Yeah, pancake for you, a pancake for me. I want to hear you holler, ooh, me. Pancakes for breakfast. Fly from the wheat stove in the kitchen, mix them all up, pour them on a griddle, sit right back and listen to the sizzle. Well, turn them too soon, gotta turn them right back. Well, we sure do love them flappity jacks. Come back down, jump and dive, catch them on the plate. Look out, mama, you're dark too late. Pancakes for breakfast. Pancakes for breakfast. Yeah, pancake for you, a pancake for me. I want to hear you holler, woo-wee. Pancakes for breakfast. One more time. Pancakes for breakfast. Get it now.
And you'll need some pancakes this weekend because there's so much going on in Juneau. It's Gallery Walk and Thunder Mountain. The Nutcracker, and then Theater 58, Latitude 58 Theater is also doing their productions. So if you need your pancakes, this Capital City Firefighters Auxiliary Pancake Breakfast is Saturday at Thunder Mountain High School. I think it starts around 10. And also, just to let you know, we've been chatting a lot about Gallery Walk. There is free parking for Gallery Walk. So everything's free after 3 o'clock as far as parking, and that's at the North Franklin lot, the Shoppers lot, the Transportation Center, the Marine Parking Garage. All those CBJ parking garages will be free for Gallery Walk, and that is tomorrow night. So stay tuned. We're going to take a little break, and then Nancy Giacharney will be here, and we'll be talking about everything that's going on as far as arts in the capital city. Hello, you are listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO.org. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer extraordinaire of this show. It is almost 20 minutes to the hour. There is a dense fog advisory until noon.
I could barely see my way across the street.
I know, it was very far. That's Nancy Giacharney. And it's true, we could hardly even see the jacks, but it is bustling inside because it's Gallery Walk. So let's chat Gallery Walk. Is there anything to do this weekend?
There is one or two. You know what I want to really just say is it's sort of like a giant music festival in addition to being Gallery Walk, because everybody's having performances in addition to their gallery opening. But let's just start with this evening, for example.
Okay.
All right. So this evening at 7:30 over at the Jack, Blythe Spirit.
Oh.
The theater at Latitude 58, people are doing Blythe Spirit and the Mousetrap. Tonight is Blythe Spirit, and then tomorrow's the Mousetrap, and then you can see the Mousetrap Saturday during the day, Blythe Spirit in the afternoon, and then Blythe Spirit in the afternoon on Sunday. So there's
That theater company has really grown, and now
they're doing all sorts of things. Yeah, my gosh.
Go, Latitude 58.
Is your last weekend to see Sweeney Todd. So there you have it.
That was a really good show.
That keeps you going. Okay, so...
And Nutcracker, if we're talking
And Nutcracker weekend. So we'll take it We'll just start with First Friday. Okay.
Gallery walk.
Gallery walk.
The grandpappy of
Yes, this
First
is
Friday.
The big one. And for people who don't really know what it's all about, generally speaking, each month galleries open a new show, a new artist. But this particular month is one where not just galleries, but just about every store in town is open with refreshments and, as I mentioned, music and all sorts of things. So it looks like the weather's going to be kind of nice. Just gather up some friends and come downtown and wander around.
It's a great
back the night.
It's
you know?
A great community event.
It's a wonderful time. Okay, so we'll start. You should come to the Jack first and get your little map because there's so many things to see. You need to have a guidepost. So you come there, and we are, our show is Plain Rain Painters. They're the folks that go out and paint every Saturday, rain or shine, and they have a wonderful calendar, and these are the paintings that have been in the calendar.
Okay.
We also have a new portrait by M.K. McNaughton, John Forrest, and we will have the Reindeer Band performing from 5 to 6, Lace Saya performing from 6 to 7, Parker Wilson's will be open. He's over there right now doing some pulled pork type stuff. And then we'll have the Blythe's or a Mousetrap after that. So there's lots of things to do. If we wanted, you just mentioned K2 has Jerry Smetzer's walkabout paintings. Over at Copa, and you know there's going to be good refreshments over there, Jim Fowler.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, he's on exhibit for the month. Right next
you
door.
You mean his work is on his,
yes, well, he might stand there, too. Let's see if we can get that going. You know, later on in this show, it gets a little risque, so stay tuned.
Okay, now you have me intrigued.
Okay, so Glacier Salt Cave Cove and the Cave and Spa is having an open house. So if you've been curious about what that place is, go over to Copa, see Jim's paintings, and then duck in next door. They're having an open house and have it all decorated and such. As you mentioned, there's the Nutcracker that's happening at the Juno Douglas High School. It runs this weekend only, Friday, Saturday at 2, and at 7, and Sunday at 2. And there is a tea party that's possible to do on Saturday.
Great. Yes, the tea party is always fun. But the show is new. It's new choreography. It's new artistic directors. It's got a cast of gazillions. and so it is definitely a new production.
And the new, you know, the Nutcracker is just a tradition.
Exactly. Well, it's not that new.
Music.
It is the Nutcracker, but so,
yes,
the choreography is new.
Yes. It's a new, whatever, sketch. Now let's go back down to our gallery walk. Sketch Studio, which is MK's studio. And if you don't know where that is, she's going to be open from 4 until 8. You're looking at Kenny's Walk and Teriyaki. To the left is a parking lot. Go into the parking lot and walk towards 2nd Street or whatever that is up there and turn to your right. And there's MK's little studio, and it's delightful, and you should go in there. She's got all kinds of goodies and whatnot, available gifts and all kinds of things. You could give people a gift of a class with MK, for example. So Heritage Coffee is featuring artwork from Taku Graphics, and in addition, they are going to have classical and holiday music by flute players Stevie Spinka and Lisa Ray.
Wow.
Like I said, this is going to just be like a concert all day long. Elise Tomlinson is on the second floor of the Valentine Building. She come on downtown to her studio. She's not there always, so this is a great opportunity to see what she's got going. Alaska Robotics will have Pat Race, new stuff by Pat Race. Trickster Company is new designs by Crystal and Rico Worrell. And I think they're going to have some other things going on, too. Can't remember what it is. Annie Kales has Barbara Craver, Pua Maunu, Karen Beeson, and Joe McCabe. And they have always got good refreshments there. Don't forget, they also have all kinds of other things that you want to go
right.
there, of course.
And fantastic local artists.
Yes. And that stuff will be up through December, but all of these folks are saying if you're getting things for gifts, you can certainly take things. So, Jewel Box, Ed Levin Designs is at the having a show by him, and they're having the Bell Choir from Chapel by the Lake, and Diamond Cookies. At Hearthside Books, right next door, Judith Ripley and Marsha Irwin Bennett will be signing books. Judith Ripley just did Compliments to the Bear, and Marsha Irwin Bennett has Pioneer Grocers of Alaska, Juno in the 20th Century. So interesting old history from around here.
Okay.
Sea Alaska Heritage Institute is going to have storytelling, Tlingit language games, dance performances. Allison Bremner, Nicholas Galanin, Roz Cruz and Renee Culp will be on site doing demonstrations and doing work. There'll be special discounts in the store, so stop in. They're going to be open 8:30 to 4. Shoe Fly, of course, has their shoe cookies, which we like, and they are going to have salmon wallets from the local startup Tidal Vision, seafood samples from Alaska Glacier Seafood, so stop in on your way. GCI has photography by Frank Lynn Pierce. And they will have refreshments, too. It's a good thing we're walking, is all I have to say.
I know. I'm walking right with you as you describe this, and I'm saying, yes. How can we possibly do all this?
Yeah, you're going to have to walk quickly. The Rookery has Chris Miller's Pêche à la Labour, I guess Alaskan and French commercial fishing photography, and I suppose there'd be food there, too. The Canvas has 25 reach artists, with a wonderful exhibit, and they are going to be having, as I recall, yes, the Mendenhall Quartet performing. It's a string quartet.
Bell choir, Mendenhall Quartet. Oh,
string player, flute players. Yes, and then we get to the Juno Douglas City Museum. Jeremy Kane has an exhibit, and on Sunday they will have a mug up. And up there with Sarah Lewis from the Cooperative Extension Service and storytelling by Mark Whitman. So the weekend goes on and on, but you should definitely stop by the City Museum. The Southeast Alaska Conservation Council is having an open house, and they'll be showing a little film, so you can do a stop in there. Foggy Mountain Discovery Southeast, they're in collaboration. They will be having discounts for Discovery Southeast members, and they are also collecting gently used children's outdoor clothing for the kids in their Discovery Southeast programs.
Excellent.
Very nice. Now, if you've never been to Aunt Claudia's Dolls, a museum, which is upstairs on North Franklin Street, it's right across from where they're tearing down the Gastineau Hotel. Go up there. She'll be open on Saturday, too, from noon till 5. It's really worth a visit. It's the most amazing collection of dolls and fun stuff. Just fun stuff. It's like somebody's attic. It's great.
So like stuff in Claudia's attic.
Like that one. Like that, exactly. Now, down at Kindred Post, they're having an ugly sweater photo booth by Annie B. and music by Alaska Pella. And they'll have treats, non-alcoholic coffee cocktails by Sentinel Coffee. Now, bring your sweater. You know that everybody really likes their holiday sweaters secretly. So now you can have a photo booth with them. Mount Juno Trading Post has got Janine Gibbons, Frank Mooney, and Andrew Tripp. They will be doing all sorts of handmade totemic bracelets and silver and all that sort of stuff. And they will be on, that stuff will be on display through December. If you're getting a little tired, you can take a little rainforest yoga break with Lindsay Bloom from 5:15 to 6:15. Okay, all levels are welcome to do that. Let's see. The Juno Artist Gallery has Toby Harbinick. He there in the Senate building. Also in the Senate building, Candace Byrne and Associates, Deb Gregoire, Laura Hosey, Amy Fletcher, and Katie White will be in Suite 217. And they will be there also with some information about skin care with Candace Byrne and Laura Hotch of Urban Haven Skin Care. So that's going on. Also in the Senate building is Bustin' Out Boutique, Becoming Images Blush Photography, a gift only you can give to your very special person. So go stop in to the Bustin' Out Boutique. They're going to have all sorts of fun stuff there with photography by Penny McGooey. And let's see. Which brings up the fact that I forgot the Organ Fest, which is happening. I love your eyes.
I'm just amazed. I'm amazed about how much could go on in One day.
Nancy,
what is the Organ Fest?
Yes. The Kimball Organ is having a festival, and it's in the state office building. It's a fundraising sort of thing, and that will be happening at the same time all of this stuff is going on. So let's go back to the Senate building. One of a kind, Jessica Hanlon, has watercolor and silkscreen art available. And then we get to Fairweather Gallery down the street a little bit. They have Colin Herforth, a retrospective of his prints and paintings. The Alaska Brewing Depot has the Juno Symphony. Oh, my goodness. See, I told you this is going to be a great... Plus beer. I mean, come
on. Juno Symphony and beer. And Alaskan, our very own brewery, swag.
Yeah.
Like shopping, listening.
Snacks, whatever. Singing. Of course, you'd have to be 21 for the beer.
Yeah, that's good.
But at the Glory Hole, Paige Bridges has 24 colorful contemporary oil paintings of cats, fish, rabbits. She does wonderfully whimsical stuff, I think, brightly colored. And music by Dara Rilatos. I can never get that, the R's and the L's in that one right. But she's a singer. So there's more music as you head down. Caribou Crossings, every year they bring Lisa McCormick, fabulous handmade jewelry, and they will be down there. And as well, House of Russia will be open. They're having a special on all their Polish pottery. And then the Taqueria has Emily of High Tide Tattoo will be showing her paintings, and there will be a two-piece band performing. Is that enough? There's more stuff. Wait a minute. There's more stuff.
Even Jeff is like, my goodness.
Ben Franklin is doing some stuff. Ben Franklin's going to have sliders and a whole lot of treats and giveaways and things. So stop in at Ben Franklin's. What did I forget?
I'm not sure.
I think you just go downtown with your friends and walk around.
Just need to get out. And I think it's supposed to be pretty nice. In fact, I have the weather right in front of me. It is supposed to not rain. It's 26 to 32, so get out your hats and your gloves and your scarves. And if it's not raining, we Southeastern people are happy. Southeasters?
Yeah, we, you know.
We're Southeasters. We sound like a tornado or something.
There is, I think, also stuff happening at the Alaskan Bar, live music. The Downtown String Band, and the Soul Review is out at McGivney's. I want to just say, if you're a teacher and you're interested in some art education in-service type things, Mary Ellefson, M.K. McNaughton, and Amy Houck are doing that on the weekend. Call Sarah in my office at 586-2787 and get registered for that on Saturday. It's two sessions, I think one session in the morning and two sessions in the afternoon. And that's open to any teacher for free, so stop in for that. We got pancake breakfast on Saturday with Santa at Thunder Mountain. They've got bazaars all over the place. You know, if you need all this detail, it's on our calendars, jahc.org and ktoo.org. There's just so much, I can't even go into it all, but I think we've hit most of the top. Gold Street Music is doing some stuff on Saturday at 7:30 at Resurrection. There's live music again with Mitchell Sumner, who's the person at the Taqueria. He's on Saturday at McGivney's. We've got, I mentioned the Mug Up at the museum with the storytelling. Piano and Strings, Northern Lights United Church. There's a Music Matters thing happening on Sunday from 4 to 5. Goodness, this place is busy. It's so exciting. But one of the things we need to remember to do is just take a break and relax and enjoy the company of your good friends for this holiday season.
Absolutely. So
Mudrooms on Tuesday.
Mudrooms on Tuesday. And so while it's Gallery Walk, it's definitely, as I said, the grandpappy of all First Fridays, and it is happening downtown. I also just want to do a little shout out for artists that the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, with Nancy Ciccerni, is the executive director, invites all artists to create a piece of wearable art for the 2016 Wearable Art Extravaganza. The theme is Reflections, and the deadline for that, for applications, registration, is December 15th. And
coming right up.
For members who want to get tickets, they went on sale for members for December 1.
Sadly, I mean, or something. already the Saturday tables are sold out. So if you're interested in attending, you best be giving us a call.
You know, it's not easy to make me speechless, but Nancy has surprised me today with lots of information that I find.
It's fun.
Kind of, you know, it sounds like the biggest gallery walk ever.
Certainly, I'm just excited about all the music.
That's what I'm saying.
And the performances. It's just going to be a wonderful giant festival that everybody's putting together. All the downtown shops they're all cooperating and helping each other out. And it's nice to have some good news, don't you think?
Yes, it's very nice to have some good news.
So join us.
Yes, Nancy, thank you for all that you do and coming in to chat with us every Thursday. So it is about 4 minutes to the hour, and the weather, as I said before, dense fog advisory until noon tomorrow. Tonight it's decreasing clouds, really high fog in the morning, then patchy fog in the afternoon tomorrow. Highs around 34 with wind that's looking about 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, first day of gallery walk, partly cloudy, lows 26 to 32. Saturday is mostly cloudy, chance of rain and snow, highs around 38. And Saturday night, chance of rain and snow, lows around 33. You've been listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. It is the week of KTOO's phone drive. So if you're thinking about renewing or you want to become a member, everybody, if we all come together, we can make a big change. And you could start with your local radio station as far as finding out what's going on nationally, locally, and internationally. And that number is 586-3636. Tomorrow, Andy Klein will host Juno Afternoon, and he'll be chatting up about the Nutcracker and everything that's happening this weekend as far as the gallery walk. And Andy always hosts a terrific show. Thanks, Andy, for all that you do. And here we are. We're about 3 minutes to the hour. Next up, All Things Considered.
Mondays are back at the Diamond Park Aquatic Center. Now open Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. until 8 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. until 6 p.m., and Sundays, noon until 6 p.m.